I picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Thursday, September 21st, 2023. And I think maybe we'll conclude this. It's shocking stuff. What I've been talking about during the first hour. And let me just sort of recap that real quick as I multitask, which is bad for radio. Louis Rossman published a video back on September 6, 2023, titled "Your Car Collects Information on Your Sexual Activity and You Consented to It." I think the title is somewhat misleading because I don't necessarily think it's the car when you actually read the terms in this case. So he's talking about all auto manufacturers. They're all engaging in the same sort of practices. We know, you know, you can watch the light bulb conspiracy documentary, for example, to see that there are these secret agreements that are entered into by organizations. You know, if you know the history, for example, of Standard Oil and the Rockefeller contingent working with IG Farben, then you know that, you know, one says oil, one says chemical, and ne'er the twain shall compete. Basically, they maintain an oligopoly or a monopoly in their respective market sectors, never to compete with one another and to dominate the market. And then, of course, as I said in the first hour, regulatory controls are sought after and instituted to help these organizations maintain their monopoly. That's an established fact. You know, in fact, one of the most interesting and provocative things that most people will learn in James Corbett's Big Oil series, How and Why Big Oil Conquered the World, is the fact that prohibition in America, you know, as James put it in the documentary, had nothing to do with the fact that John D. was a teetotaler. It was to destroy the competition, because Henry Ford had said that people would grow their fuel, be able to grow their own fuel in their own backyard. And that's something that we've entirely lost sight of. This is another large aspect of what's going on. People have essentially lost the ability to produce anything themselves. Just even simple things. We don't make clothes. We don't make, you know, our own food, clothing, and shelter anymore. The, you know, Maslow's foundation, or Maslow's basement, as I would colloquially refer to it. And that is tragic. We are only as strong as the weakest link, but we're also only as strong as the current generation. How much have we lost over just say the last 100 years or so? So
Henry Ford says we'll grow our own fuel in our own backyard, and along comes John Dee and says, I don't like the competition. Competition is a sin, so let's get rid of that. Let's pass a constitutional amendment to destroy the competition for automobile fuel. And eventually the damage is done, and people, you know, you institute these regulatory controls that make it virtually impossible for people to do this themselves anyway, and then you can repeal the constitutional amendment and go back to taxing people on their vices, which is also a popular form of fleecing people historically. Anyway, I want to give you a little bit of this video just for context so you understand what I'm talking about, because I think Lewis Rossman does a good job of, in just a couple of short minutes, really outlining the issue. So we're going to do that first, and then we'll move on. So can we do that, please?
Hey everybody, how's it going? I hope you're having a lovely day. A few years ago on this channel, I put time and effort into archiving advertisements that were funded by major automakers that implied that if you were to get your car fixed at an independent mechanic, if Right to Repair passed, that you would be sexually assaulted in a parking lot, tracked, and stalked. These advertisements were funded by General Motors, Toyota, Ford, Honda, and Nissan, and they looked like this.
Gen 1 passes in Massachusetts. Anyone could access the most personal data stored in your vehicle. Domestic violence advocates say a sexual predator could use the data to stalk their victims. Pinpoint exactly where you are, whether you are alone. Even take control of your vehicle. Vote no.
Vote no on question one. Keep your data safe. And in these commercials, it's very obvious what they're implying. You have somebody that's sneaking up on a woman that's by themselves, there's scary music playing, the parking lot has that really blue fluorescent lighting that just lends itself to a feeling of creepiness, and at the end of it, it says, vote no on question one, keep your data safe, and that this is something that is pushed for by victims of sexual assault. They do not want question one passing. And one of the things that I find interesting about this is it really comes back to one of these principles where the person who is accusing somebody else of something without foundation is usually the person taking part in those practices themselves. This was reported by the Mozilla Foundation, and they went through the privacy policies of many automakers, and they found this in Nissan's privacy policy. This is not from a conspiracy website. This is from nissanusa.com/privacy.html. If you hit Control F in your web browser after visiting the site and you type in sex, you will find this. Sensitive personal information, including driver's license number, blah, 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 blah. So sexual orientation, sexual activity, precise geolocation, health diagnosis data, and genetic information. Direct contact with users and Nissan employees to provide connected vehicle services that might utilize reliant geolocation. Now, why do you need information on my sexual activity? More importantly, why does my car need information on my sexual activity? The number one concern that I've heard from all of you when it comes to this issue is, why is my vehicle storing this data on me anyway? So let's say somebody does hack my vehicle. Why do they have the ability to get access to so many pieces of information on me? Why is my vehicle storing data on me that I did not consent to it storing to begin with? And part of that is data on my sexual activity. If I have sex with my girlfriend in my vehicle.
That's stop it. Stop. Okay. Yeah. We got to stop before we get to the stuff we can't play on air. Anyway, you get the point. So I think he outlines the situation in 2 minutes very well. And obviously, as he said, he has archived the Bernaysian propaganda that sort of undergirds this. But one of the best points that he makes is, as he said, you know, one of the things that I think we find interesting here on this network as well is it comes back to the idea that the psychological projection, the person who is accusing somebody else of something without foundation is usually the person taking part in those practices themselves. And that's precisely what's going on here. Nissan is in the crosshairs in this case under the microscope and engaging in precisely this kind of surveillance, creepy stalking of people. you know, if I did this, and he has a good analogy, you know, about the Uluru-ing, as he calls it. And the analogy is essentially if it wasn't nefarious, this activity was, you know, and you say, well, people consent to it. If it wasn't evil, you would advertise it and display it publicly. It was a good thing. Obviously, you would brag about it. Hey, this is what we're doing. It's a good thing, but it's not a good thing. It's evil, and that's why it's buried and not a focal point. There's more, though. You know, there's more that they collect that is precisely in keeping with the surveillance capitalism economy, the efforts that Google has talked about with the selfish ledger to nudge people, to influence, persuade, and to essentially rewrite us genetically through Lamarckian epigenetics, to have us pass things on to our, you know, to one another and to our posterity that we wouldn't otherwise want. There's all kinds of information that corresponds to that. So for example, on Nissan's privacy policy, inferences, data they collect, inferences drawn from any personal data collected to create a profile about a consumer, reflecting the consumer's preferences, characteristics, psychological trends, predispositions, behavior, attitudes, intelligence, abilities, and aptitudes. Do you kind of hear the cross-section of that and what Yuval Noah Harari talks about? You know, surprise, you're hackable animals. All we need is a little bit of data and some computing horsepower, and there you go. There's more. There are several sections. I could probably just read through all of it. It'd be enough to make you want to throw up. But types of personal data collected, it's ridiculous. Why do they need to collect all of this information on a person? It's a rhetorical question. Internet or other electronic network activity information, including but not limited to browser history, search history, information regarding a consumer's interaction with a website, application, or advertisement. If you, maybe it's a stretch, but maybe it's, you know, the irony is if I say, think about everything you do on your phone that is tethered to a vehicle, maybe that you've rented, being tracked by these companies and people, the knee-jerk reaction is to say, or the knee-jerk response is to say, oh, I'm sure that's, you know, that's a stretch. That's not what they're doing. Really? How can you be so sure when all of this information is acknowledged that they are collecting and providing to service providers, third parties, including, as they disclose, sensitive personal information, including driver's license number, national or state identification number, citizenship status, immigration status, race, national origin, religion, religious or philosophical beliefs, sexual orientation, sexual activity, precise geolocation, not just geolocation, precise geolocation, health diagnosis data, and genetic information. If they acknowledge they collect all of that and provide it to service providers, is it really a stretch to think that the tethered device that you paired with the vehicle you rented and didn't unpair, didn't delete that device from the vehicle you rented, is it really a stretch to think that it's still eavesdropping on your web browsing history and your other electronic network activity information, as they put it? Is it really a stretch? Is it really a stretch to think that they will gather every bit of information on you that they possibly can? To me, this is a reason to avoid using these products and services. At a minimum, if it is the surveillance capitalism world and data is the new oil, And as some folks have surmised, those who refine the data, like oil, are the ones who are the new millionaires and billionaires. So Jaron Lanier says we should be compensated for our data. Since we are the new oil well, are we compensated? Do you drive the car for free because of all of the data you're providing? Do you get a royalty every month after you turn in your rental vehicle that you didn't unpair your device from? And Nissan sends you a royalty every month because, you know what, they're still collecting data through your tethered device, still eavesdropping on your internet or other electronic network activity information, including but not limited to browsing history, search history, information regarding a consumer's interaction with a website, application, or advertisement. No, that doesn't happen. Isn't that interesting? So it's a very predatory and grotesque kind of thing, I think. It's very predatory. It reminds me of the analogy Lewis Rossman mentions, where actually the stalker is the auto manufacturer. It's Stockholm Syndrome. People embracing their kidnapper. The kidnapper is the auto manufacturer and related third parties and service providers. These are the predators. And if we really understood this, there would be a mass exodus from all kinds of things. People would leave the third party provider, the third parties and service providers. People would stop working for the auto manufacturers. They would stop buying these vehicles. But it's so convenient, Chris. How can I, you know, and I won't be cool. I won't be keeping up with the Joneses if I do that. No, I suppose you won't. Let's go to the phones and grab Lynn in Maryland. Lynn, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Thank you, Chris. And just think that's all without even purchasing a smart bed.
Yeah.
Like anybody be dumb enough to do that, but what do I know?
We probably should play the Liberty Safes video that Buddy Brown did, because I think it's definitely apropos. Why would anybody be dumb enough to do that, indeed?
Yeah, well, and TVs take a screenshot every 60 seconds. So
yeah,
no matter what you're playing,
even if
it's an old video, you know?
Yeah, they aren't
stored. And that's
stored,
not even the TV that was recording what it was seeing in the room. You know,
right. those screenshots. Yeah, those screenshots aren't stored, though, except when they are.
Yeah. Actually, I spoke to intern. You know, this is Lynn, my last name, and who am I speaking to? Intern, in Representative Lotto's office earlier this morning, because they had a hearing in the Energy and Commerce Committee Subcommittee on Communication and Technology. You know, all those little fees we pay on our phone bills so people can have, you know, a reduction in their internet fees and free phones, you know, that Lifeline thing, so anybody who gets a break on their utilities gets, you know, free cell phone, you know, it's better to track you with. It's just annoying. I actually spent 15 minutes trying to educate this guy, you know, just giving him some information. You know, we don't need broadband nationwide. I have friends that are trying to move where they aren't exposed to wireless, and there's nowhere to run, you know.
But Lynn,
and not only,
all the better
not just
to propagandize and socially engineer you with.
Yes, and it's not just, you know, it's like the people that come near you with their phones and their Fitbits and their everything.
Yeah.
And an example is, I'm into the dentist, and I'm going to get into something that happened with the dentist 2 days ago. But a long time ago when I went to the dentist, he had one of those, you know, those speakers. And so I requested a song. Do you know when I went back, like a month later, because I had an appointment, clearly everything's connected? It played songs from, you know, I asked for something from Free or something, you know, whatever it was. And the thing played, I said, has any of that music come up in the past month?
We're headed into a break. We'll finish that thought when we come back. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Aren't you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom, illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
For the first time since its inception, RBN is offering a limited opportunity to you, the listener, to join our quest. You will be provided an effective platform on both internet and satellite broadcasting and also gain the opportunity to both share your creativity with our producers and voice your message with thousands of patriots. Interested? Call 800-724-2719, extension 3 for details.
Talking to Lynn. Lynn, the dentist, had one of those speakers, Alexa or something like that, and yeah, it remembered your song preference.
It wasn't my song, it was the artist. I said, okay, has that thing played
song preference
that music
is what I was saying.
In a month?
Song preference is what I'm talking about.
Okay, but yeah, here's what happened on Monday. Because I had a really bad toothache, my dentist has moved. So, okay, I get a call back. I've left a message overnight. He's moved. Okay, so I'm talking to this girl, Bobby, and she's going to give me directions from where his office was, which is an hour away from me, so I'm going to get there. I wouldn't know. But then it's further away than that, and it's around Robin Hood's Barn, but she doesn't know how to give directions because she only knows GPS, at which point it walked all over me, and I said, do you know how to read a map? And she said,
no.
I said, do you know how to read a book? I graduated from college. I'm like, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And then I get the other one who gives me the directions, kind of. I said, may I suggest somebody go drive it and write it down and come back to your office, type it up, put it in your procedure manual at the front desk, and then anybody could read it. I said it nicer than that, but that's how I felt about it.
You would think. I mean, that used to be common sense.
Yeah. No. They can't read. So I'm actually afraid. If people are getting this stupid that they can't look at a map and figure something out, they don't know how to read a book. Older people have lost the ability to read. I just do audio books. You know, I'll just watch a video. You know, the whole thing, like, you can't sew a button? I mean,
yeah.
It's frightening. It's just frightening. And you can even tell them. Robert Kennedy Jr. was on Washington Journal last week. He actually said, what he did was say it was 5G, but it's actually all wireless. But he said 5G causes glioblastoma.
Mm-hmm.
He actually said it. And you can tell people, your devices cause cancer, people. I mean, non-ionizing radiation does not exist. I mean, it's an old term.
Remember 10 years ago when Dr. Magda Havas suggested the possibility of type 3 diabetes? And now we're hearing the obfuscation of that term. She was saying, you know, wireless induced diabetes because it causes rouleau, you know, clumpy blood and that kind of stuff. And now we're hearing that Alzheimer's is now the muddying of the waters that she was trying to point to. And so this new description of a type 3 diabetes, I think, is an effort to really try to sort of drown out what Magda Havas was talking about.
Well, and the other thing is, like, you know, electric cars, okay, and AM radios. Too much static, well, that means that the radio isn't shielded. What does that say for the occupants in the car?
Exactly. You know?
I mean, I can tell you, when I sit in this chair at 2 in the afternoon, because I started thinking, does this happen every day at this time? Because I start feeling like I'm going to freak out. It's like my body's vibrating. Yeah, because I'm right in line with my neighbor's smart meter.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's like, people don't realize that their devices aren't just picking up their stuff. It's picking up your stuff. I'm like, no, you're not bringing your crap in my house. No cell phones, no Fitbits. You leave it outside and not in my car.
Is there a reason that we had to get rid of lead paint? Was it really for health, or was it because that stuff doesn't travel well through lead-painted walls? Is there a reason that we had to get rid of all of that, what's it called, calcium block insulation that was asbestos laden, we were told? Was it because of the asbestos, or is it because, you know, this kind of stuff doesn't travel well through those things that are insulated with that stuff?
I don't know, but you better go out and get aluminum screens while they still have those.
Yeah.
You know, it actually blocks it. So, you know, I mean, I'm glad I have an old house with old aluminum siding and old windows. I'm glad I didn't replace them, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and remember, Lark said he was going to be on this afternoon on Ron Avery's show. So thank you. It's been good listening to you. And I figured I'd just let my tooth go, and if I have to pull it out myself, I will.
There you go.
And they can't even call in an antibiotic anymore. I mean, bad enough when I ask for the Tylenol 3, you know. Oh, my God, drug addict, you know. But
we're definitely in retrograde. Yeah, in retrograde at this point. Thank you, Lynn.
Okay, thank you. Bless your
much
heart.
Appreciate
take
it.
Good care.
Thank you. You too. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model Easy 4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line. Engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Yeah. Welcome back. Before we go back to the phones, a couple of things. Let's see. Aaron Russo's America Freedom to Fascism. There was that section that I wanted to play where all of the state, you know, the guy's trying to order a pizza. Do you remember that section in the movie? I was intending on playing that. The copy that I was aware of on YouTube is unavailable. So we won't do that right now, but maybe we'll do that later. If you do a search, just a search in your favorite search engine for Henry Ford ethanol, you find a lot of interesting results, including the NBC News piece that was published back in 2006. Renewable energy has an icon, Henry Ford. A major renewable energy conference is learning from the past. Henry Ford's passion for ethanol fuel and about the future of what one executive calls the bioenergy era. It's NBC. And the photo is, the caption reads, Henry Ford posing with a Model T envisioned powering his vehicles with gasoline or ethanol or a combination of both. This is NBC News, 2006. You find other interesting posts like this one by Daniel Stroll, published back in 2017. Fact check, Henry Ford didn't design the Model T as a multi-fuel vehicle. That's interesting. And, blah, blah, blah. The story further asserts that Henry Ford's attempts to make ethanol a standard automobile fuel were thwarted by John D. Rockefeller's push for prohibition, an assertion that we've already debunked. And that's linked to an article. Fact check, Rockefeller didn't pursue prohibition to ensure ethanol's demise as a fuel. Of course not. So there's that. And then the last entry I would say for our purposes is from the Petroleum Services Company. Website petroleumservicescompany.com, published in 2016, titled Henry Ford's Fuel of the Future was Ethanol, but we still use gasoline? And the subtitle reads, spend a single summer afternoon on the boardwalk in Atlantic City, and you might soon understand the motives behind the once unfathomable decision by U.S. Congress to outlaw alcoholic beverages in 1919. The 18th Amendment to the United States Constitution, a widespread ban on alcoholic beverages or prohibition, seemed to do little to stop the American fascination with good drink. While always extremely relevant, ethanol has never received the proper respect it deserves. Alcohol is a fundamental part of our identity as Americans. Whether we like it or not, for decades it has fueled our modern culture, and for the past few years, our automobiles in part. So, interesting stuff. Most people are not familiar with this discussion, but if you search Henry Ford ethanol, you may discover some things that you didn't otherwise know. Back to the phones. Jim in Phoenix, Arizona. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes. Hello, Chris. How are you doing?
Good, Jim. Good morning.
All right. Hey, I called because you asked if it was a stretch about them collecting data from your phone, after you turned your rental car in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a stretch.
Okay. Even if the phone is still tethered to the automobile, it hasn't been deleted from the paired devices on the vehicle.
Well, yeah, because, I think that connection only has maybe 50 feet, 60 feet range. Maybe 80 feet. So how would it get information, because you turn the car in, you never see it again. So your phone's not going to be close enough to it anymore.
Right. But the device has a NIC card, and that NIC card can be found anywhere it's connected to the internet.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, I understand your point for sure.
You answered my question there, yeah. I needed to know exactly how they made connection.
It might not be connected to the to the car, that automobile, particularly through the Bluetooth connection or the Wi-Fi. What do they call it? I forget what they call it, but basically the Wi-Fi connection or the Bluetooth connection to that automobile. But the device still has a NIC card that allows it to be discovered anywhere it's connected to the internet.
Right. So, that's how you could, control your car remotely then, with your phone or something.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Like how they killed that Rolling Stones reporter like that, huh?
Michael
what was his
Hastings.
Name? Yeah. tasting. So I'm here in Phoenix, and I do a lot of parts deliveries to these data centers. Do you have a lot of data centers where you are?
I am in Montana, and it's not quite that crazy here yet. So, but it's headed that direction, it seems.
Have you ever seen or been to a data center?
I have not been inside one, but I've seen them.
These places are crazy. They're like small towns or college campuses.
Are you talking about like a co-location center, you know, where you have banks of servers and things, that kind of thing?
I reckon that's what's going on in there. You know, they, you know, I deliver to like Uber and Zelle, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of banks, investment banks and stuff. So that's where they're keeping all your sign-in and passwords, you know.
Right. Giant all that concrete bunkers with no windows.
Yeah. Like in the downtown areas, definitely they're like that. But these newer ones, they're just big cities, you know. They look like just a collection of warehouses. But yeah, they're pretty secure places. But yeah, it's crazy. You know, they're huge. They're constantly under construction too. They're constantly expanding, and there's new ones popping up left and right. So I'm either delivering the parts to the data centers, or I'm delivering parts to the semiconductor manufacturers, you know, that are making the parts for the data centers. Taiwan Semiconductor, it's probably bigger than the town you live in, you know.
Yeah, probably.
So yeah, you know, data—that's definitely the new economy, you know. As far as the car companies, though, I haven't seen a lot. I haven't seen them out here. I don't know, you know, where they're storing their data. But you were talking about Nissan specifically. I think they're probably in Japan, maybe.
I think a lot of that gets handed off to what they call third parties and service providers and their privacy policy. I don't think that Nissan stores it directly in most cases. I think that is handed off to the service providers and third parties that are more capable of doing that, the companies that you're talking about with the data centers. But who knows? I mean, I haven't looked into it. Maybe Nissan's getting into the data business as well.
I'm trying to. Why not?
Yeah.
But you know, I'm a entrepreneur. You know, I haven't filled out any job applications in a long time, so I kind of look at these things differently. You know. Like how when you think about or talk about something and then all of a sudden you get ads about it constantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to find out who does that, who I can pay to do that for my business, you know?
Well, it's a slippery slope these days, I would say, because most things are going in the direction of artificial intelligence and it's moving. I would presume that, you know, since you listen to this network, you would be one of the scrupulous people who would not want to manipulate others. And this technology is all moving in the direction of being able to essentially manipulate people without them knowing it in precisely Bernaysian sort of fashion, where Bernays talks about that in Chapter 4, Propaganda, influencing the group mind in a way that they don't even realize they're being influenced. And I would say that's unscrupulous.
You know, I think we have the exact same YouTube playlist. So I'm sure you saw the video with the husband and wife. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
She was talking about how they're you know, doing the Brave New World thing and putting ads in people's dreams now.
I'm not sure I've seen that.
Okay. Well, it's probably on your list coming up to watch, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, yeah, the manipulation, you know, if they're going to start putting ads in our dreams, that's some serious manipulation, you know. No, I don't want to go that far, but I would like to find out where my demographic is and how I can get to, mm-hmm. you know, that'd be nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe, get the government to mandate, you know, that everybody has to buy my product, you know, like Pfizer. That'd be nice too.
Automobile insurance and all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Man. Well, thanks for answering my question, Chris, and may your blockchains rest lightly upon you.
Thank you, Jim. Best to you as
all
well.
Right, man.
Thanks for the call.
You have a good
much
day.
Appreciate it. You too. Goodness sakes. Yeah, it's a brave new world. Really, if you have a chance, you know, people, if you have a chance, go to, and again, this is just representative of all of the auto manufacturers, because as Lewis Rossman points out in his video that I focused on today, your car collects information on your sexual activity and you consented to it. This is something that is funded, the lobbying, the advertising. it's not just Nissan, it's General Motors. It's at a minimum General Motors, Toyota, Ford, Honda, and Nissan. And so they're all sort of engaged in or colluding, I suppose you could say, and conspiring to manipulate people not to trust themselves or the independent auto repair facility or the shade tree mechanic. As Lewis Rossman points out, the advertising insinuates, if it doesn't state directly, that these kinds of people might engage in nefarious activity or allow somehow, maybe directly or indirectly, someone else to engage in nefarious activity, when in fact these companies are themselves doing that. So I would encourage folks, especially if maybe you've bought a new vehicle or are considering buying one, a brand new vehicle in the near future, go, for example, to nissanusa.com/privacy. That will direct to privacy.html. You can do that too. That page has those data points that are collected. See for yourself. It's crazy stuff. Types of personal data collected. Why? Why is all of that collected? Some of it in the normal course of business, maybe I understand. But then, in addition to Nissan collecting it, in almost every case, you see who, you know, third parties to whom disclosed for business purpose. Almost every case, service providers, marketing, promotional, service providers and affiliates. Service providers and where permitted or with consent, what does that mean? Third parties, such as future employers or pursuant to legal request. Service providers, other third parties, et cetera, et cetera. So, and what recourse do you have? Once it's out, it's out. Reminds me of Aman Jabi talking about how people are saying, you know, we shouldn't have, I forget exactly how the nuance goes in the discussion, but, you know, his point that once the data is collected and it's out there, it's out there, and it's where it gets stored is, you know, to say we don't want it stored locally is irrelevant, because it's probably not going to be stored locally. That's a straw man argument. The fact that the data is, once it's gone, it's gone. It's kind of like, you know, to use a crude analogy, it's kind of like being pregnant. Once you're pregnant, you're not going to not be pregnant anymore. And the way that happened, probably, you know, you can't undo that either, if you know what I mean. That's a crude analogy, but you understand what I'm saying. Back to the phones. Mike in Kentucky, thanks for calling. Welcome.
What was I going to say? I was going to finish the quote there. May posterity forget ye were our countrymen. That last caller
sure
quoted, may your chains yeah set lightly upon you, and may right posterity forget ye were our countrymen. If you shy away from the animated cost of freedom. So,
blockchains. May your blockchains
The lady that called, I've heard her on RBN a bunch. I can't remember her name. She was talking about her teeth. But anybody that has teeth problems, I shocked a dentist because for way too long I brushed my teeth too hard, and it was because they handed out those stupid little tablets that you chew on. They would hand you a toothbrush and some toothpaste, and you brush your teeth, and then they get you to chew on these little tablets. And it would stain your teeth, supposedly, wherever you weren't properly brushing. And they would send it home with you. And they sent them home, and man, I just brushed and brushed. I could not get those stains off. It didn't matter if I spent 5 minutes brushing my teeth. So I started getting in the habit of brushing my teeth wrong. And I had a family member tell me, well, if you brush your gums until they bleed, it actually helps them heal or some crap. And so I finally, years ago, I talked to this dentist, and they were like, you're brushing your teeth too hard. Really? And yeah, you've brushed your enamel away. So I had been using hydrogen peroxide and baking soda and reading different things on the internet. But then I saw this old movie, and this guy pulls out this thing that almost looked like a shoe polish tin. Before toothpaste was in tubes, which, by the way, was lead tubes. And they had to quit that because the lead would get drawn into it by the fluoride. So, makes you wonder how many people got lead poisoning from toothpaste back in whatever, the 30s and 40s. But this old guy pulled out toothbrushing powders, a little tin. And I'm like, powder? Oh. And at the time, I was taking this stuff called Calm Magnesium, trying to get my magnesium levels up. Because you have to eat about 2 pounds of spinach, supposedly, to get the amount of magnesium our stressful lives require. So I started brushing my teeth with this Calm Magnesium. And in about 6 weeks, I had to go back for some little bit of filling or something, and the dentist was like, what did you do? What are you brushing your teeth with now? And I said, I'm not going to tell you. And then I told her, but she was really shocked. She's like, I got to look into this because it made such a difference in my enamel. It remineralized it, probably better than a toothpaste that they advertise. But my teeth were really temperature sensitive as well. I couldn't drink really hot coffee or really cold, which I gave up on pop even before, but really cold, like seltzer water or ice water, it would really hurt my teeth. That went away, too. So it calms the nerves down, any inflammation in your mouth. So, and it's got a real neat foaming action. It's almost as good as a tooth, water pick. If you spit it out, you'll see little black gunk of stuff coming out of your gums, you know, that you can't get with a toothpick, because of the foaming action. And but you can swallow it. There's nothing wrong with swallowing it. I mean, if you really feel it's going to damage your stomach or something, just drink a little water. Because normally people use that product. This is, I have no gain or endorsement or any back deals or nothing on this. I came up with using the product that way. It's not on the box to use it that way. They just want you to mix a couple tablespoons of hot water and drink it like a tea. But when I was growing up, they had this Poppin' Rock candy where you put it in your mouth and it foamed up. That's kind of what it's like. So I just take a little measuring spoon and put about a half a teaspoon or maybe a third of a teaspoon in my mouth on my tongue and then swish it around and brush my teeth. Like I said, the first few times I spit it out, you get stuff that's around your gums, you know, the kind of stuff that causes gingivitis. I can't even eat popcorn because of that. It gets stuck between my teeth.
Interesting stuff.
Well, anyway, I just kind of help that gal out or anybody else. You know, it's something to try. It'll remineralize your enamel. But yes, granular data is being harvested by anything that can harvest it, and it goes back a lot farther than anybody wants to admit. The stuff that they got caught doing in the 1970s, church committee and stuff like that, they didn't expose half of it. You know, I think a lot of times when things get exposed, they do it as a limited hangout.
Limited hangout, absolutely.
Yeah, divert
no
you
doubt
from
about
what
it.
Else. So I know somebody that has to rent cars all the time, and they'll get in the car, and it'll say, "Hello, Mary," or somebody else's name, because whoever handshaked their phone to it the last time is still handshaked to that car. So now the way X Key Score works, and I see Reach and these other programs, there's probably a nexus created in the NSA
box. That's why I said what I said to Jim. Yep. Absolutely why I said what I said to Jim.
Nexus created there. Multiple family members can handshake to a car to make their files play through the radio, through the Bluetooth. And then you've still got the OnStar satellite antenna. How much of that data goes up to the satellite and goes wherever? Wayne Benny says there's like 13 countries involved in the intelligence community, let alone the fusion centers and all the companies that in a public-private partnership.
And again, most of that is outsourced. Hey, we got one other call that we got to grab,
right.
Mike.
Anyway,
appreciate it.
It's an extensive topic. All right, thanks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, no end, really. In the interest of time, back to the phones. Skip in California, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris. I just listened to you this morning, and I bought a used car, and I wanted to put a stereo in it, and I had the stereo guy he's working on it, and I'm out in the waiting room, and he says, "Come here, look at this," and I went out into his shop, and he says, "This thing's wired, you know, with a transmitter," and I said, "What?" And he showed me a little device inside behind the kick panel. I said, "Okay, well, take it out." And he says, "Yeah, well," he said, "we sell these things. We use them for leasing companies. They keep track of the vehicle." And I said, "Oh, that's interesting." Also, OfferUp. I get, you know, I'm out vacuuming my dog one day to get the fleas off him, and OfferUp next day starts offering me stuff on flea vacuums for dogs. I didn't ask for it. And
interesting.
Verizon. I go into Verizon store because my screen is all cracked on my 4G phone. So I went into Verizon. Maybe it's time for a new one. I knew all about 5G and Fullerton Informer. I know radio. I didn't want 5G, but so maybe I'm being silly. So I went into the Verizon store and got 5G advertised all over the place. And I'm starting to get a headache in the place. And I'm waiting for my turn to come up, and I'm feeling sad for the people that are working there. How do they live in this environment? It's pounding my head. I got to get out of this store. And I made my conversation quick, and at that point I said, "I'm not getting that 5G. I'm going to go get my 4G fixed," which I did for $100.
Right on.
That's all.
I appreciate it, Skip.
Okay. What's that?
Absolutely. I said I appreciate it.
Crazy. All right. Nice.
Much appreciated, Skip. Man, you know, what would happen if we all paid attention and we just, you know, made healthy decisions? Gosh. If we weren't always hugging our kidnapper, what could possibly happen? That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Please support the network and pray for one another. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Broadcasting Network.